All right, let's go into the Word this morning. This morning I want to talk to you about waiting in the storm. Waiting in the storm. And let's take our text from the book of Ezra chapter 4. So if you go with me to the book of Ezra chapter 4. Ezra is right after 2 Chronicles. We're going to read two passages of Scripture. That's verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 reads, "Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letters was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia." Verse 24 again says, "Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia." Let's pray this morning. Father, again, we just thank you for your goodness in our lives. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, this word that you've placed in my heart, a very simple word, but yet, Lord, a word that it is important to understand. God, just knowing, again, one of the ways that you work within our life, God, and Lord, just bless this time in your word together. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we only read two verses in Ezra chapter 4. But let me just tell you what's going on here. After being in captivity for 70 years, the king of Persia released the Jewish captives to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild their homeland, rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and rebuild the temple that's in Jerusalem. If you remember, King of Babylon, 70 years earlier, came in, totally burned the city with fire, threw down the temple of the Lord, left everything reduced in ashes and rubble. And now 70 years has expired, and the king of Persia has released him to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild. And the people are very excited, and the people are very exuberant and full of just expectation in their heart as they leave the place of captivity to go and rebuild. And again, we need to recognize that their release from captivity was from the Lord, because the Lord wanted his people to go back and rebuild the city, ultimately rebuild the temple, because he wanted to bring his people again one more time to a place of true relationship and back to a place of true worship with himself. But as we read, something happened. And what happened is this: the enemies of God's people, when they saw the exiles returning and rebuilding, they became very fearful, and at the same time they became very angry. And they wrote a letter to the king of Persia, and they told him ultimately what's in the hearts of the exile is treason. Ultimately what's in the hearts of the exiles that are rebuilding is rebellion. They plan to rebel against you, and you really need to make this work to cease. And they must have put up a very good argument, because the king of Persia, he agrees with them. And he sends instructions, you need to stop the work of rebuilding immediately. And what we need to recognize is that God's people are now in a place of waiting. They are powerless to rebuild. They are powerless to continue to work. And in their confusion and perplexity, all they can do now is wait upon the Lord and see what happens. And beloved, a lot of the commentaries that I read say that they could have waited up to 16 years before they actually started rebuilding again. So they return, they begin to rebuild, but then they're given the order to cease the work. And it's very possible that they were in a place of waiting for 16 years, not able to do anything regarding the temple for 16 years. And the question then becomes, Well, why did the Lord allow this to happen? It was God's mighty hand that had brought his people out of exile. Remember again, when they first went into captivity, the Lord, through Jeremiah, prophesied and said, after 70 years be accomplished, I will supernaturally move upon my people, and I will bring you out of your captivity and bring you again into this land, and you will begin to rebuild again. So it was the Lord that prophesied that. So ultimately, we have to know that God is in control here. So then the question again becomes, well, then why did he allow this to happen? Well, beloved, here's an answer that I come to peace with that I really think is from the Lord. I truly believe God allowed this to happen to bring his people to the place where they are no longer building in human zeal, but now they are building in divine grace. Amen. You see, when the people were first released, they came out of that place of captivity, you know, very excited and very exuberant and very zealous to begin to put their hands to the work and rebuild. And let me just say this. Listen, there's nothing wrong at all about being excited about the work of the Lord. Amen. Listen, when you work in ministry, you consider it really a great blessing to be with people that are excited about being in God's work. They're very zealous. Their heart is really into doing the work of God. I'm not knocking that at all. I mean, that is a good thing. But I think at this point in time, the Lord really saw the need. He really saw the need to bring his people into a place where they're simply obeying and working out of the power of grace. You see, excitement and exuberance and human zeal is good, but I'm telling you, when the work suddenly becomes hard and the work reaches into impossible places and discouragement begins to set into the heart, I'm telling you, human zeal and excitement will only take you so far. It will only carry you so far. And so I believe with all my heart, the Lord, what he was doing is he was just bringing them out of a place of human zeal and bringing them into a place where every day they just walked in obedience and obeyed in the power and the strength of grace. You know, when they begin to rebuild again, I can't help but be reminded of God's words to Zerubbabel. He was the one who was actually building the temple and leaving the people to rebuild. And God's word to Zerubbabel was simply this. Look at that mountain of impossibility that is set before you, and I want you to shout grace, grace to that mountain. I know you're in a place of impossibility. I know you're in a place where you're beginning to understand now. It's impossible to rebuild this temple, this testimony of God's glory in the earth in human strength. You've got that revelation now. But now I want you to look at that impossibility, and I want you to shout grace, grace to it. In other words, it's by grace you're going to begin the work, and it's grace that you're going to finish the work. When this temple is built, the only label, the only banner that's going to be over this temple is simply this. It was the grace of God. Amen. And can I just say that in our own lives, God may see the need to bring us into a time of waiting, so that one more time, grace begins to carry us and strengthen us to finish something God has called us to do. There may be something God has truly called us to put our hands to, but then he sees the need to put an obstacle in our path to seemingly cause the work to cease, so that in the waiting time, somewhere the power of grace begins to pick us up again, and we are building in the strength of grace again. There just may be those times. There may be those times God will say, yes, I truly called you to do this, but I see a need to cause the work to cease just for a season, because I need you to bring you back right again one more time where it's not you, but it's grace that's doing the work. That's what happened with these exiles. And I'm sure there are times that may happen in our lives where God will see the need one more time. I need to bring you back to the power of grace again. Amen. So, this is what I really want to talk about for a few minutes, is waiting time. Because the people of God are in a place of waiting. And that's really what's in my heart this morning, to just talk to us about for a few minutes, waiting times. Listen, there are going to be times in all of our lives where God is going to put us in a place of waiting. Where God puts us in a place where we have to wait upon Him to perform something or to fulfill something that He's spoken. And what I want us to understand is that waiting times are not wasted times. I want to say that again. Waiting times are not wasted times. Because often God does His deepest work in our life in times of waiting. Capture that. Often God does His deepest work in our lives when we are in a place of waiting. Listen, the Scriptures really plainly set this before our hearts very clearly. I mean, you see it so plain in the Scriptures. There are so many powerful examples of this in the Bible. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Hannah, Esther. These are just a few that show us it's in the place of waiting where God so often performs His deepest work within our hearts. But beloved, here is the problem. Most of us are doing people. We have so many things that we are so busy doing in order to accomplish the things we feel like we need to accomplish. And if we didn't have something to keep us busy, we would probably be frustrated because busyness means accomplishment. You know, I can't help but wonder what we would do, and counting myself, if God just suddenly decided to shut all of our projects down. All the projects that we're investing our lives in, we're investing our time in, all the activities that we are doing, everything that keeps us busy. I just wonder what would become of us if suddenly God just shut it all down and said, "You're not doing anything." Well, I think we'd probably be beside ourselves because we'd feel like we're not accomplishing anything because we equate busyness with accomplishment. And can I just say this? Please don't misunderstand me. Listen, we all live on an actual earth and we all have things to do and we have to be busy. Listen, if you are a parent, we have to be diligent in taking care of our children. And if we have a job or a career, you know, we have to be sufficient in these things. And if you are in ministry, there are many needs that need to be taken care of. We will be busy people. Amen. But yet, listen, it still does not negate the truth that often God's deepest work in our lives is not performed in our doing, but in our waiting. And this is sometimes where the storm comes in. Somewhere in our life, in the midst of all of our busyness, in the midst of all of our doing, somewhere in our life, we need to be put in a place of waiting because there's just something deep in our life God wants to do. So He will allow a storm into our life in order to plant us into a place of waiting. He will send a trial, an adversity, a hardship where we have no control of it and we have no power to change it. And we come to the realization, all I can do now is wait upon the Lord. Somewhere in the storm, we realize, God, I have exhausted all my strength. I've exhausted all my resources. I still can't control what's going on, and I can't change anything that's going on. So, God, all I can do now is wait upon You. That in the midst of all of our busyness and in the midst of all of our doing, God will send a storm so that He will set us aside into a place where we are waiting. I'm still busy. I'm still diligent. I'm still performing the work of a pastor. But yet, here's an area in my life where I am in a place of waiting. I am in a place, God, here's a problem. Here's a trial. Here's an adversity. And I've exhausted all my strength trying to control it. And I've exhausted all my resources trying to change it. I still can't control it. I still can't change it. So now all I can do is just wait upon You. And when we say, God, all I can do now is wait upon You, this is when God says, good, because this storm was designed for this very purpose. I have allowed this storm into your life for this very purpose. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to bring you out quickly because in this place of waiting, I'm going to perform something so deep. I'm going to perform something that truly has My imprint, My hand upon it. My grace will sustain you in this time. And My grace will work something so deep in your life in this time. Yeah, stay busy doing this. Stay busy doing this. In your ministry, be diligent. Raising up your kids, be busy. But in this place, you're going to wait on me. Because my deepest work doesn't come in all you're doing. It comes in your time of waiting. So while you're busy pastoring that church, while you're busy being a light on that job, while you're busy in Sky Camp leading the kids, in this place, in this storm, you have no choice but to wait on me. And as you wait on me, I'm not going to be quick to end the storm. You're going to be there for a little while. But you have to know this. I'm doing something in your life that all you're doing could never achieve in your waiting time. Amen. Now, let me just go on to say that in our waiting times, there are so many things God accomplishes in our lives. But let me just give you one example. Something powerful he does in our waiting times. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. It's talking about Abram, who later be called Abraham. Look with me at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." Now look at verse 20 again. There's just one little caption I want to read there and talk about. It says, "He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith." Now capture that. It says, "but was strong in faith." But was strong in faith. Beloved, listen to me. When you read Abraham's story in the book of Genesis, when you walk through his life with him in the book of Genesis, there are times, there are many times you will see that he's anything but strong in faith. You'll see times where he struggled with his faith. You'll see times he wavered in his faith. You'll see times he even went and created Ishmaels out of his doubt and his perplexity of spirit. You see that he was anything but strong in faith. So without doing any injustice to the scriptures, I believe you could read it this way. But he grew strong in faith. But Abraham grew strong in faith. That's what the writer's saying. And here's where I want us to capture. It was in his waiting time that he grew strong in faith. It was in his waiting time with the Lord that he came to a place where he no longer staggered at the impossibility he saw every day in his life, in his own life and in Sarah's life, the barrenness. He saw it every day. But he came to a place where he was no longer moved by what he saw. But every day he gave glory to God that it doesn't matter what I see. I know you can perform what you promise. Abraham came to the place. He grew to the place where he stopped creating Ishmaels out of his own doubts. But he grew to a place where he could say, "God, I haven't seen the promise fulfilled yet, but I'm not going to stagger in unbelief. I count you as able to perform that what you had promised." Listen, it was in his waiting time that he grew strong in faith. And when I look at Abraham's life, here's the question I have to ask. What is it that produces strong faith in my life? Is it seeing the impossible promises come to pass? Or is it waiting upon the impossible promises to come to pass? It wasn't in seeing his promise come to pass that he grew strong in faith. It was in the place of waiting for it to come to pass that he grew strong in faith. And beloved, that is something so supernatural only God can do. Listen, in a time, in his waiting time, in a time where his doubt should have been growing, in a time where his discouragement should have been growing, in a time where his unbelief should have been growing. And instead, what is happening is the unbelieving man is dying and the man of faith is getting stronger. But it happened in his waiting time. And again, I'm simply saying, listen, I really believe the deepest work God did in Abraham's life was in his waiting time. And there are things in our life that God wants to do. All of our busyness and doing is not going to produce it. It's in our time of waiting that God produces it. So God will say, be busy here, be busy here. TM, I called you to be a pastor. You be diligent, take care of all the needs that rise up every day. I called you to work in Sky Camp. You're going to have a lot of needs. Be busy doing that. I called you to be a parent. Be diligent in the things that pertaining to your children. Raise those children upright. Raise them in the grace of God. Raise them right. Be diligent. But in this place, you're not going to be busy. And the only thing you're going to be doing is waiting on me. Because in this place, you've exhausted your resources. You still can't control it. You still can't change it. Now wait upon me. And as you wait upon me in this place, I'm going to perform something so deep in your life that only my handprint will be seen upon it. Amen. And sometimes these storms and weighty times, they don't end overnight. You know how long Joseph's storm and waiting time lasted? 13 years. From the time he was thrown in that pit till Pharaoh exalted him, prince of Egypt. He was in the pit, Potiphar's house, as a captive, and in prison for 13 years in a storm of his life waiting on God. But I want to tell you something. When he came out of that place of waiting, God gave him a storehouse. He was the only one in the whole world that had bread to give in a time of famine. The only one. And that physical storehouse represents that spiritual storehouse in his life. Not only did he have physical bread to give people, but he had something in his heart that glorified God to all the nations. And that only happened in his place of waiting. Amen. So I guess I'm just trying to encourage you today. Storms invade our lives in many ways. But God is saying, in the waiting time, be encouraged because I'm doing something that is so deep. And here's what I want to end with. Here's the thought I want to end with. Storms can invade our lives in many ways. Our health, our finances, problems on the job. Storms can invade our lives many ways. Again, they are things that we have no control over. They are things we have no power to change. But it is then we have to look to God and wait upon Him and ultimately trust that He's in control. And also trust that in this place of waiting in the storm, God is working something so deep that only God can do. And in the end, it will speak something for His glory in my generation. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Stand with me this morning. I'm just going to make my altar call very simple, right out of the message. And it's simply this: Pastor Tim, I am a busy person. I have a lot of things that are keeping me busy. But yet there is a problem. There is a trouble. There is an adversity that is in my life. And no matter how hard I can't change it, I can't control it. And I am just in a place of waiting upon God. But this morning, God is calling me to put my confidence in Him. That as I wait upon Him, He's doing something in my life that all my busyness and doing cannot do. And I'm going to give Him glory for it. Like Abraham, I realize it's in my waiting times where I become strong in faith. So if that's you this morning, won't you just come to the altar? Let's give it to the Lord. And just trust the Lord with it this morning. And then I'd like to pray with you this morning. Remember, the altar call is ultimately casting your confidence on the Lord. That even though you're in a storm and it may not go away overnight, God is faithfully producing something in your life that your own strength never could. And ultimately, what's going to happen is there is a storehouse, like Joseph, a spiritual storehouse that's going to feed many people in a world that's starving for life. Amen. So let's just give it to the Lord. Let's put our confidence in the Lord. Amen. Just talk to the Lord this morning. Lord, I thank you for just reminding us again that sometimes you design the storm and you design it to plant us in a place of waiting. God, sometimes we're so busy, and rightfully so, we need to be busy. We do, but yet there are places in our life where we need to be in a place of waiting, where there isn't anything we can do but wait. And God, it's in those waiting places that you perform something in our lives that our doing can never work in us, God. Lord, there are some things that are so deep that only waiting places can produce that, God. And Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I know they're very diligent with their work, their business, their ministry. I thank you for that, God. But at the same time, I thank you for your grace and strength that is carrying them through this personal storm that they may be in. And God, I even thank you for the fact that sometimes you don't bring us out of the storm overnight and you don't plan to. That would just negate what you're trying to do in our life. But I thank you, God, that no matter how long the storm may last, Lord, there's peace in the storm. And there's grace to be sustained in the storm. And God, when we come out of those storm seasons, we come out of something that come out with something that has the handprint of God upon it. Something that has eternal value. Something that's going to last for eternity, God. Ultimately, something that's going to glorify you. Ultimately, something that's going to be able to give life in a world that's powerless to give life. Lord, this world has nothing that can give spiritual life. But God, you are producing a Joseph company. A people that have a spiritual storehouse that can feed a starving world with spiritual life. God, when the world is powerless to deliver, God, your people have an anointed gospel that opens every prison door. When the world is powerless to fulfill the discontented heart, we have a gospel that says, "Come to me, all that thirst, and you'll never thirst again." God, that's the power of our gospel. And Lord, sometimes we have to go through those dark nights before that storehouse can be given into our hands. But Lord, I thank you that in those storms and in those waiting places, God, you are producing a storehouse in our life that runs deep. I thank you for that. And God, I pray everyone at this altar, let them walk out in courage. Because ultimately, you are in control of the storm. Even though it may not go away Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, ultimately you are in control of the storm. And you are up to something in our lives. And God, as we heard in a sermon some weeks ago, ultimately you have the final word. And every storm, every adversity, you have the final word. And the final word is this. Somewhere, somehow, the glory of God is going to break through. And I will be glorified in this. Thank you for that confidence that we can have. Lord, we love you and we give you glory and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if you'll stand with me, if you want to stay in the altar a little longer, please feel free to do so. Everyone else, I'm just going to dismiss us. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this time together in your house, this time with your people. Lord, I thank you for the worship today. I thank you for the presence of God stirring in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for the power of your word today, speaking into our lives. And God, I just pray as we leave this house, we would just enjoy our God today. Lord, that weather outside just invites us. Enjoy this day. This is a good day. Go out and enjoy it. I pray that we'd hear the same thing to our hearts. Your God is a good God. Enjoy Him today. Walk in relationship with Him today. Lord, we thank You and we give You glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.